3 hours or something. How much? What? All right. I'm limited. My mommy told me I have to get to bed by a certain time. Usually it's 8 o'clock, but I think tonight it could be 9. So it's 7:30 now. So what shall we do? Should we have kirtan, or shall we read, or... I guess we'll have a little kirtan. Huh? And then read. You want to do it the other way around, read and then...
No,
first
kirtan.
Oh, first kirtan. And then we'll leave my garland there.
Which one?
Well, you can have this one. We're going to have this one. So, I didn't bring my Bengali budgeoneers with me.
Gargamani.
Well, I've seen a lot of people play Dolok. Also, that's why I was asking where you learned to play that way. Did you see it somewhere in India? Oh, some dogs. Because generally we never put mridanga or kartals on the ground. Although in every temple you see. In every ISKCON temple. If you go in the Gaudiya Math temple, they have a stand. Actually, in Radha Gopinath temple also, they have a stand where mridanga goes and the kartals are elevated. I'm not 100% sure, but it does seem like, just like you wouldn't chant, you know, devotees sometimes chant their rounds with their beads hanging down here. It's a no-no. Yes, out here, not on your feet, not touching the ground. Small. Am I finding some I'm going to read from this book. Has anyone ever read this book? Huh? Anybody? Radha Damodar Vilas. Probably not a couple. It's, I want to put a bunch of singers. Who's that? But yeah, it's compiled stories, did a lot of research, got all the stories on two wonderful devotees in this time. One is Jayananda Prabhu, who is he's the only recognized ISKCON saint. First Gargoyle Maharaj also, I think, celebrates his disappearance day. But Jayananda Prabhu, Prabhupada told us to put him on the calendar. Gosh, I just can't say another thing about Jim. Did we ever read this? Do you know Jayananda? Have any of you heard of him? Rathyatra. What else? Do you have your celebrators disappearance day here? No. Maybe I should read a little bit about Jayananda. It's a tough one. Sometimes I'll start crying. The first devotee to engage in devotional service. Jayananda Prabhu was always ready. This is by Kalakanta Das, who was also in San Francisco at the same time, around the same time. Jainanda Prabhu was always ready to do whatever was necessary to push on Krishna consciousness. He was expert at everything. Cooking, preaching, deity worship, public relations, sankirtan, selling incense, construction, and everything else it takes to run a temple. Jainanda was, we were in our late teens or early 20s. Jainanda was, he was older than most of us. He was in his 30s. He had engineering degree from Ohio State, which is one of the best engineering colleges in the world. And he also had a teacher's degree in the state of California. Plus, he was from a very wealthy family. But before he joined the movement, he used to drive a taxi. That's what he liked to do. He was just a very simple guy. He'd drive a taxi and get the money to the temple. He wasn't a hippie. Most of us. He was just someone who was attracted to Prabhupada and came and gave his life. He was a tireless worker. He would be the first one up in the morning and the last one sleep at night. It's a fact. It's incredible. He was a big, stout, strong man. And he was the first one up in the morning. In those days, we all took really cold showers. He would jump right in, no hesitation. And just, you know, chant while he was taking a freezing cold bath. He was such an inspiration. It was Jainanda who was always running out to get the flowers. We purchased our flowers from a big wholesale merchant. Jainanda who was washing dishes, making sure the kitchen was clean. Jainanda who was often missing class while he was out doing some service. And Jainanda who was always encouraging others to go out and preach, setting the example himself. Whatever assignment he was given, he would always get it done, even if he had to suffer personal inconvenience. He, we'd have a big Sunday feast, and Jainanda would, first time I met him, he was not the bouncer at the front door, but he was the person who made sure that everybody came, gave a donation. Because there were a lot of hippies in San Francisco at that time. If you didn't get something, you know, we were poor also. So he had to make sure everybody gave a dollar, 50 cents. And a lot of us didn't have that much. Although many hippies were from the middle, upper middle, and even wealthy families. Living on the street like bums in India or something. But he would help with the whole Sunday feast, and then if there was any prasadam left over when everybody else was, you know, in their sleeping bag, crashed out, you know, from the big blowout feast. This is, I remember later on, I went up to Vancouver. Humna tells me the story. He said that, because he and I were good friends, it was a great cook, and we cooked together and cooked a big feast. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many people came to a side feast, there'd always be lots left over. I think that was because we planned it that way. But we would eat until we couldn't move anymore. We'd just lie down. Everybody would be lying all over the room. And then I'd say, all right, everybody up. we're going to walk around the temple 10 times, and then we're going to come back and eat some more. And that's what we did. We were jogging around the temple, came back and ate some more prasad and purified. But Jayananda, he would, after everybody else had retired, he would make sure the kitchen was clean, get all the dishes washed, then he would find whatever devotees he could, get in a van, and he'd take the leftover prasadam down to the Bowery, or, of course, the Bowery's in New York, but he'd take it down to the Mission District in San Francisco and pass out the prasadam to the winos, people who were low. But we always, he loved to distribute prasadam. Oftentimes he'd know the guys by name, you know, how you doing, Lily? He's an incredible person. And he didn't care. Even if he had to suffer personal inconvenience. Those who know Jayananda always notice one remarkable quality about him. This is the quality. He could not criticize others. It was against his nature. Even if a devotee did something that warranted criticism, Jayananda would usually say nothing, or else say something that made the mistake appear to be perfectly understandable. Hard to believe, because I don't think there are many people like that. But that's the way he was. He really was like that. He couldn't criticize people in front of him. No matter who was giving class or leading kirtan, he would always appreciate it. He never spoke hard words, harsh words, or chastised anybody. If one devotee was criticizing another devotee within earshot, in other words, Jayananda could hear it, Jayananda would simply leave. Rather than criticize others, Jayananda would contribute nothing less than positive Krishna conscious energy to any situation. Sometimes devotees would bring up their expansive, great aspirations for spreading Krishna consciousness. Jayananda would always encourage their ideas, however extraordinary. That's true. Because there were some pretty wild people with some wild ideas. At the same time, he was not a fool. He could always pick the right man to do a particular duty. Because he knew how to encourage people, the temple leaders would always assign new men to work with Jayananda. I love this sentence. And it's so true. He saw no distinction between new and old devotees. Both were his superiors. That's wild, but that's Jayananda. He was the most senior, but he always considered himself. He couldn't tell. He could quickly give a new man a sense of identity and a feeling that he belonged in Krishna consciousness. A true Vaishnava, he would expertly fan any little spark of interest into a big fire of Krishna consciousness. Like the 6 Goswamis, Jayananda was dear both to the gentle and the ruffians. He was as much at home with the Italians at the produce market as with the brahmacharis in the temple. He's always looking to save money for the temple. So he would make a personal relationship at the produce market. There was one guy whose name was Banana King Louie. Italian. And Jayananda, he liked Jayananda because Jayananda was just very simple, straightforward, and really nice person. And he would always take him cakes and prasadam and all kinds of things. So whenever he would go, all the produce people would load Jayananda up with a full van of free vegetables and fruits and all kinds of things. It was just his personal charisma. He wasn't flamboyant charisma, but he had a kind of quiet charisma that was so contagious. Because of his genuine compassion, Krishna gave Jayananda the unique ability to make people want to serve, directly or indirectly. Whenever a new bhakta would come, Jayananda made him feel that he was engaged in important work. He was willing to let people do things their own way without getting concerned about the details, unless somebody's creativity interfered with practical necessity. New bhakta or old, everyone felt satisfied after a day's work with Jayananda. Nice story, it's not in here. Once a new devotee came, and he wasn't sure whether he wanted to join or not. He was a bit on the mental platform. So Keshava, who was the temple president, he sent him out with Jayananda. And that day, Jayananda was taking out the garbage. He'd get a big truck and take all the garbage, temple garbage, for some time. A few weeks' garbage was stored outside the dens, loaded up in the truck, and take it out to the garbage dump, which was outside the city. And so this boy spent the whole day with Jayananda. And then he came back and went to Keshava and said, "I want to join." Keshava said, "What made up your mind?" He said, "Well, if the guy who takes out the garbage around here is so blissful, I can just imagine how everybody else." Jayananda's leadership was especially evident during Ratha Yatra time. He would organize a crew. Yeah, it was the same old thing. Ratha Yatra was a second priority. And so everybody else would be engaged in Sankirtan or book distribution or whatever. So Jayananda, he would organize a crew of cynics, bloopers, the blooper is some guys going to leave some uncooperative personalities and non-devotees off the street to build the Ratha carts. Although many of his men sat down for a smoke during breaks, he would get them to work 10, 12, or 14 hours a day. He was always glorifying others while working hard himself. In fact, he worked harder than anyone else. All these qualities constantly inspired his co-workers. I worked on it. Was I a cynic or a blooper? Anyway, I just got the good fortune to work with Jayananda on the Rocky Mountain Carts in 1970. What an experience. Jayananda was well known as a transcendental miser. Miser. He hated to spend any of Srila Prabhupada's money. Personally, he had almost no possessions, even during his years as a householder. Jayananda would use his personal charm with people to get them to give everything for free or at a discount for Krishna. Without spending huge sums of money, he would personally collect nearly all the bhoga, flowers, lumber, paint, and everything else needed to put on Rathiatra each year. He was married for a few years. Poor girl. He just wanted that his parents wouldn't give him any money unless he was married. So he got married. Then they gave money and he gave it to Prabhupada. And it was more or less just a brahmacharya. I mean, not more or less, more. So she got frustrated after a few years. Went back to Hawaii. Jayananda could get almost anything done for free, such as printing, advertising, and mimeographing for Rathiatra publicity. What he couldn't get for free, he'd get at a discount, and when he paid, he'd get his money's worth. Although he was a senior devotee and could have had anything he wanted, he always dressed in old dhotis or work clothes that he'd buy for $1 per set at the Salvation Army. That's a riot. Jayananda's Yajna Pavitra, sacred thread, those always really old. It was always, it went from here right under his armpit and up there. And it was tied in all kinds of knots because he just wouldn't put on a new one. He'd break it during his construction or something. Just tie it up. I remember once I was coming from Los Angeles with Jayananda, and we stopped at a place to get. So it was about a 6-hour drive or something. So we stopped to get some boba for lunch. And so we said our Gayatri. So then I, took 6-7 minutes to complete my Gayatri, finished within about a minute. Less than that. And I said, Jayananda, how do you say such a fast Gayatri? And he said, I can't remember a darn word of it. But he had a real taste for it. He was one of the few people I've ever met. He would sit and chant all his rounds. He'd sit down in a place and just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna for 16 rounds straight. And it was constant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Close his eyes, or he'd get up and sway back and forth. Jayananda was the backbone of the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, Rathiatra for years. During the weeks before the festival, Jayananda would sweep at the site where the Rathiatra carts were under construction. He would rise every day at 4 a.m. without fail, even if that meant he was getting less than 3 hours of sleep. To keep his crew enlivened, he would cook fantastic prasadam on a tiny gas stove at the site. The preparations were always carefully offered, and each was filled with so much devotion that the temple devotees would often sneak down to the cart site just to get some. It's true. Behind the scenes, Jayananda was doing everything in preparation for each festival. He would beg food, flowers, and funds, buy material, and build the carts, advertise and arrange for permits, and organize the cooking and serving of prasadam. Although things always went right down to the last moment, he consistently succeeded in fulfilling all his plans. After the festival, Jayananda personally brought a prasadam cake or pie to each and every person who had helped in some way. Because of his efforts, the devotees in the Bay Area have enjoyed an amazingly harmonious relationship with the city officials. The year after, when Jayananda died, he had leukemia. The next devotee was in charge of Rathiatra. sugar to Swami Das or something. But he went, we have to go before the city council, there's a number of people, and we have that here. And you have to make a petition if you want Golden to be acquired for this reason, whatever your person wants to stay. And then they hear what you have to say and then they vote on it. So he got up to, you know, request the chairperson, members of the city council for permission. So as he got up to speak, the chairman, she said, wait a second, where's Johnny Nanda? And so I said, he died last year. She said, what? She said, how could that be? That's not possible. She said, correct. He was just, I don't know how to explain it. As much as it's hard to explain the characters from the Prabhupada, it's hard to explain Jayananda. The devotees have enjoyed an amazingly harmonious relationship with the city officials. Jayananda was very eager to see everyone engaged in Krishna service. He once wrote, when I reflect on my consciousness, had I not had association with devotees and Srila Prabhupada, I shudder to imagine the nightmare I would be in. If we could become a little dedicated to distributing the mercy, so many could be saved, so much suffer. Anyway, it's Jayananda. Vishnujana Swami. He's also another great devotee. His book is about both of them, basically. Radha Damodar is the Sankirtan party, bus party. But these were the two most loved and appreciated devotees. They're just very spiritual people. Abhay's spiritual inclination manifests at an early age, watching his father do daily puja to the family deity, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. The youngster also requests a deity to worship. His father obliges him with a small set of Radha Krishna deities. Bhai begins to offer what he eats to his little Radha Govinda. Like his father, he also offers a ghee lamp and puts his deities to rest at night. He is fascinated by Rath Yatra and longs to visit Puri. So Gaur Mohan, his father, helps him organize his own Rath Yatra festival, complete with miniature carts and deities modeled exactly after the giant carts in Puri. Friends and family join in the celebration with the other children of the neighborhood. This childhood pastime anticipates the day when Abhay will inaugurate the Rath Yatra festival in major cities worldwide. Desiring his son to be proficient at performing kirtan, Gaur Mohan purchased a child's mridanga and hires a teacher. Quickly, the boy masters the intricate beats taught by the professional mridanga player. As he enters manhood, arrangements are made for Abhay's marriage. In college, he becomes sympathetic to Gandhi's independence movement of non-cooperation with the British occupation. After completing his studies at Scottish Church's College, Abhay fulfills a boyhood dream to visit Puri. Here, he has a deep experience that solidifies his early attraction for Lord Jagannath and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Returning to Calcutta, he is offered an important managerial post at the chemical laboratory of Dr. Kartik Chandra Bose, with a salary generous enough to support his family, that now that a child is on the way. One day, in 1922, on the urging of a friend, Abhay visits the Bhulta Danga Gaudiya Mutt to meet a sadhu, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Seeing the two young men dressed in khadi cloth, the Thakur makes a bold proposal. You are educated boys, why don't you preach in the foreign countries? The spiritual movement started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the enlightenment of materialistic men all over the world. That will be good for you and the people who will hear you. Who will hear your Chaitanya's message? Abhay responds. His interest piqued the bold request. We are a dependent country. First let India become independent. How can we spread India's culture if we are under British rule? Bhakti Siddhanta. The message of Sri Chaitanya Dev is never dependent upon who is ruling. Mr. Thakur's firm reply. It need not wait for a change in Indian politics. It is far too important. It cannot wait. His style, Vyasa's style, there's no guarantee that these were the words, but I'm told that Bhakti Siddhanta stressed who, why should we care who is the manager of the latrine, referring to the material world, who's manager of the WC. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati explains that the idea of dividing people into camps of friends or enemies on the basis of ideology or bodily designation has nothing to do with absolute reality. This is something that Srila Prabhupada would quote all of the time, the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. He had teachings of Guru Kunti, he liked those prayers so much, and the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. It's very fun. And especially for Prahlad Maharaj, talks about friends and enemies, how this is simply a mental concoction. No one is your friend and no one is your enemy. Your only friend is someone who helps you to become Krishna conscious. A lot of times, people think in terms of mundane association. They think of themselves as being victims of someone's brutal attack or someone's politics or whatever it is. But whatever happens to us is a result of our past karma. And it's not that we see poor suffering people and say, oh, that's their karma, and ignore it. No, we should be compassionate and try to help them. Prabhupada, actually, when beggars would approach him in India, there are different reasons, but he would give out money to beggars. And when we stayed at big people's places for more than a day, whatever, he would call all the servants in the house and give the head servant 100 rupees, the next one 50, and the others 20. So it's not that we can't give away things. Now, of course, Prabhupada's position was that if anybody looked at him, people should look at him in a special way. That will give them spiritual benefit. But still, also, if people see us as heartless, we may say, well, you don't understand, but the perception is important. mind. I'll give you a good example. Our favorite group of devotees, Governing Body Commission. Everybody loves them, right? They have got a very, very bad reputation amongst some people. And especially their god brothers and even others. They don't really deserve it because they work hard, they try hard, and they don't get any really special perks or anything. Most of them are overworked and underpaid and losing their health fast. You look at so many of the senior GBC men, and they've all had some or are having some heavy physical problems. So it's not something that one would aspire to, but they have analyzed and they figured that why should people have this bad opinion of us? We're dealing with issues, we're trying our best, they're very complex. People don't understand, it's not as black and white as it may seem. There's a huge gray area in the middle. But the fact is, perception, although it may be misinformed perception, ignorant perception, that people have a bad impression. And therefore, there is a need for some significant action, whatever it may be. As there are, of course, here's a problem that a lot of us are subject to. It's called conjecture. Everybody knows what conjecture is. Most of the people in Ljubljana think that Hare Krishna is really good. My conjecture. I can't give you any statistics. I asked three people at the temple and they all said it was good. You know, and therefore I say boldly most. We do this all the time. Nobody has actually done a very valid survey to come up with, you know, 51% of the people in Ljubljana. They're like Ford cars. Well, actually, business people probably are a lot more, well, they're a lot better than we are. Of course, who was it, George Bernard Shaw? Who was it, the American? He said there were lies, and there are damn lies. And then there's statistics. Statistics can also tell the wrong, but at least to say, I hear it all the time in the GBC, these people give their opinions without any real basis. They've just talked to maybe at most a dozen, or they've been to 10 temples, and then three people at each temple who express some view, and therefore they're saying, well, the whole movement thinks so. You don't know. But this idea of enemies is based upon a mundane conception that someone is responsible for the way that I'm experiencing life right now. I'm not responsible. If someone else did this to me, and it's a very, very bad mentality, because the only person, even if you get even, even if you get some kind of revenge against the person, which mostly you never do, But even if you do, it doesn't make you feel really ecstatic. It doesn't make you feel more closer to God, or it's just a useless, wasted energy concept that I've got enemies. You don't have any enemies in this world. You're only innocent. Pogo? I don't even know Pogo. Little cartoon character. Not cartoon, like, you know, in the newspapers. Pogo is, I think he's still around. I mean, it's not in your newspapers, but it's in England. Anyway, he's one of his little cartoon characters. Who's that Brown, Mr. Brown, Charlie Brown? Who's like that, huh? Like Charlie Brown. And one day, you know, he dresses up in some kind of, looks like a knight. He's got a jousting, one of those long poles. It's called jousting, where the knights used to stab each other and kill us, all kinds of fun. Anyway, he marches off, and his girlfriend's there. I forget where he's going out to meet the enemy. And in the next frame, he comes back. We have met the enemy. In the next frame, and the enemy is us. So that's the problem in most cases. The enemy is us. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta really did not like this idea of friends and enemies. Although India is still in political turmoil, no government can fulfill the longing of the soul. The aim of government is simply to adjust the material conditions of life. The politicians may change, but the politics will remain. How can a man-made political system genuinely help humanity? The eternal reality is spiritual. Real welfare work must extend beyond temporary concerns. The crisis in the world is neither social nor political, nor is it anything material. The crisis is simply the dearth, the scarcity of transcendental knowledge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continues, there has not been, nor will there ever be, such benefactors of the highest merit as Mahaprabhu and his devotees. The offer of other benefits is only a deception. It is rather a great harm, whereas the benefit done by him, capital H, and his followers is the truest and greatest eternal benefit. Thus, benefit is not for one particular country causing mischief or another, but it benefits the whole universe. There is no scarcity of anything in this world that Thakur concludes, save and except God consciousness, end quote. So this echoes paraphrasing a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Janma Sarthak Kori. Janma, your birth, your life, your human birth. Sarthaka, perfect. Sarthaka Kori. Karna, which is added to different words. You can do it. Karna is to do it. Kori. Janma Sarthak Kori. You have the human form of life. This here, what you've done here is very good. You're all students. And, it's good that you're living together. It's just hard to get your consciousness together. It's very hard. And it's not appropriate actually to live. The temple ashram should basically be a group of very very sincere, fired up brahmacharis. There may be some exceptional women, but that's only just common on the ashrams and go to that. Well, Prabhupada had to deal with different environments. We had to do things differently. But janma sartha kori and kara para upakar. Again, kind of kara para upakar. Upakar means welfare work. When we say welfare work, what we really mean is helping people to get out of this miserable material world. There's going to be abundance for everyone. After the Second World War, there were so many political leaders who promised that we will create a world where there will be no poverty. And they get together at the United Nations and this gathering and that gathering, how to stamp out poverty. And they have politicians who get into office by promising to change the economy so that everyone will have a high standard of living. And it has never come to pass. And even America, because of their karma, they've got something. But it goes on a roller coaster ride. Now there's a lot of people freaking out in America, and it's really relative. You know, people in another country would be perfectly happy having even one-tenth of what Americans have. America consumes about 75% of the world's energy resources. Huge percentage. The world's energy resources. And they have it so good, but if there's even a little drop, they start shooting each other, they start jumping out of buildings, they just can't, now how can I live? And even in the world, when there was a world recession in the 30s, America was bad off. I mean, I know my father couldn't find work for months and months and months, and he was quite a qualified person. And there were so many others. But it was so bad, that so much suicide. They were so much better off than Africa or, you know, any of the horrible places that you describe on this planet. So, real welfare work is to get out of the material world. If you think it's possible, that you only can decide. If you have a strong belief, a strong intuition, that there is an intelligent creator, there is a world, spiritual world, then you've got to put a lot of energy into making your human life successful and helping others also. It's the best thing you can do for them. I went home to my parents' place one year, and all my friends and relatives were there in their house. They had kirtan that they were talking to. Brothers, sisters, I love you all. I do. Dancing, I do love you. And I want to give you the best in me. And this is me. Please accept me as I am. I really do feel this is good for you. And they're getting some benefits slowly, changing. So that's our benefit here also. We there is a responsibility that comes with the legacy that we have received. We have gotten an opportunity to understand things that great professors can't understand. Prabhupada used to always criticize or point out Kotovsky, you know, Kotovsky, Professor Kotovsky from Russia. He was, Prabhupada went to Moscow on the plea of meeting this Professor Kotovsky from the Department of Indology in Moscow. So he didn't meet him. But he actually went to meet some Russians and start the Hare Krishna movement. In his meeting with Professor Kotovsky, although he was the head of the Department of Indology, his statement was that when the body is finished, there is nothing. And Prabhupada, again and again, he would say, even big, big professors like Professor Kotovsky, they don't know anything about the soul. So it's true. You'll find when you preach, you sit down with someone, you start talking to them, whatever you've heard, examples you remember. People are amazed. Where did you get this knowledge? You don't think it's so great because you're hearing it every day. You know, it's a slow, gradual process. But you can go in and talk to some of the biggest scholars in the university and defeat them, or certainly impress them. So you've been privy to something very wonderful, and now it's your responsibility to share that. Otherwise, you'll buy Hub, Gargi Abhiti, Basma, Lokad, Brahiti, Sa, Kripana. Srila Prabhupada, actually, I'm going to stop there. I'm reading this book, so I kind of I don't know if you said it, whether you want to hear it or not. I just rather maybe that's a little selfish, but it's very good to talk to you both of these men. Jainanda was my partner for Dasha Guru. Can I answer anybody's questions? Bhaktisiddhanta did encourage us to chant 64 rounds a day. I'm finding there are many people, really nice people, that have trouble with 60. There may be some practical reasons why. If we could do it, it would be great. But, A, we're not qualified. And B, it's hard to give people blessings if they don't want to receive it, like Prabhupada's example of a man going door to door with a big basket of mangoes and knocking on his door and saying, these are free, would you like to take some? And the person says, why are you giving free? You put poison in them. Or why should I chant Hare Krishna? I have my own religion. So, it's true. I really do believe that one of the reasons why we are waning to a certain degree, you know this waning, waxing and waning. Waning means when the moon is full and it's becoming less and less. So, it's because we do not do Harinam. When I was doing all these things before I went to India, before we had books, we would go out on the street and do Harinam 12, 13 hours a day. We'd start early in the morning and stay up till 1 at night. Because we had Mangalore until 7. Still, we wouldn't do the Mangalore morning lecture in Kirtan. But then we got books, but still, go out and do Harinam. And we always wore duty in Kirtan. Nowadays, somebody's got to go to the store, which is one block down the road, to buy some milk and cookies, and takes off his duty, wipes off his tilak, puts a hat over his head, puts on his jeans, and goes to see someone else. We would go everywhere. I remember at the temple, at the front door, there'd be a stack of magazines. When we left the temple, we took a stack of magazines. Even if you had to wait in line at the grocery store, you'd go along and look at that. Then somebody got the bright idea that we can distribute. We distributed books in Dhoti Kurta, not door to door. And we weren't as big. But there was only a few of us distributing that thing also. About something that we had to do. We put on comic books, sell more books. And then maybe there's some truth to that, but then everybody started wearing comic books. And what's wrong with wearing civilian dress? Nothing, but you stop by any problem. So if you like snuff, start to merge. And you could do a whole lot of things you could do in the grid that you could do in the news. You know, do all kinds of things. Dirty magazines, you know, whatever your fantasies are. Volcano of divine love. Yeah.
more positive for the Sweet Guru.
Sweet Guru and His Grace.
Yeah.
Right. His strategy for preaching is not impressive. Sitting and doing. So we don't, we have our acharya who is everything. English speaking, who is immersed in Ramakrishna love affairs, who is an expert businessman, who is a child. Have you won your battle? Huh? No? You're actually wonderful, you know. You're very enthusiastic, very jolly. I smoke cigarettes after a time. They're about 5 days. I've given up selling them. You also had a problem? Yeah. You just gotta keep trying. I succeeded for 5 days. Huh? I succeeded for 5 days. That's your record? Yeah, last year. Ever tried any of these nickel derm or whatever?
Yeah.
What taxes? You tried that?
Yeah.
Didn't work?
No, I don't.
Something in your mind. Yes. Whatever you have, I'll tell you what the biggest problem people have is sex addiction. It's an addiction. We're scripted. This whole idea that don't have sex would just not help me with something. Fantasies, and for men, it's masturbation. So it is important to chant purely. That's the best thing to clear away your knackers. What service is there? We heard about Jayananda. Of course, I don't know if Jayananda was from day one. Although he came late, I don't know what he was doing for 35 years. Showed up one day and he was so advanced. But he didn't miss all the classes, but a lot of times he'd be out of work for his advantage. He'd be mocked with the sailor. Even the hardest one in the context of the one. In fact, you've given up intoxication, eating, and gambling. And last one, it can't be, engaged in Krishna service, you can't, regulation, everything, regulation, become a perverted thing if they're regulated. The idea of regulation with purification is a very powerful method. I know in my life I didn't find Krishna consciousness was for a few weeks. Took a long time. I'm still fighting my mind. But at least on one level, I made a lot of progress just by fighting. Just by struggling hard and not saying, not saying yes, never saying that. Get up and fight. You did yesterday, you got there for that. Krishna will help like a sparrow, like in the ocean. Krishna came to help. So we're all little sparrows here. That's a good example. Sparrows have one other propensity.
Mm-hmm.
works that way with MDMA. You have any problem? Every time you win, it becomes that much easier to win the next time. And every time you lose, and it becomes that much easier to lose. Those who think, well, I'm young now, but later on I want to have a family. I want to be a person. You should really concentrate on your education. You should collect your spiritual life totally. Get married, you're going to need an occupation, temple's not going to be a family allowance. So you should make sure that you've got a secure, and basically I can see that the covenant is really hard for one person alone to break under because although the economy, although they promised us so many things, it seems that they really have much a small group of people would have everything in the next life. But even in America, half the workforce is unemployment. It's increasing. But if you're going to be a grihastha, then don't even think about it. I would say, pray the best education you can. Really important for you to keep good association, fix times. Like, supposing you're going to get a good education, and you've got it, one of your weekly things is going to come to the program like this. And it's wait for the expiry. Fix the time. Get association. But don't let your time get stolen. You've got something to do. You'll contribute later on. Successful business plan. Big us dead easily as much as and if you're in the middle where you're not sure struggling then go on struggling. Usually someone in the middle is someone who just can't really, not a very good time manager. You can get an education. You can also have a spiritual life, but you've got to be really good at your time. You have a diary, a clock, and you go. Fair to go even. There's C plus education. And you have a life. It's okay. You will be able to raise your family once a year. People who had a number of years
Amarendra.
I mean, Balavanta and Amarendra, both of them top lawyers, they wanted to pursue law. Very strongly. Balavanta and Prabhupada told him he should run for the president of the United States. He had a party and ran for election in Atlanta. It's called the God We Trust Party. And he ran for the mayor. He came in third or sixth candidate. He was pretty good for a practitioner. He was a good speaker, southern gentleman, most aristocratic man. And Amarendra wanted to pursue law for his first time. He's pursuing, he's done a lot of cases for it. She quit. Sri Dayananda Maharaj. Krishna Chakra, all Krishna. I'm an exceptional people. And they went back to school after years of preaching. They have an agenda. All Krishna was on a very big agenda. Prabhupada was not accepted as a theologian, but a scholar. Just a leader of a culture, albeit somewhat successful. I'm accepting as a someone who took a religious tradition and added value to it. Just took something and brought it to the West. But he's not a theologian. He's just so bogus. They're in trouble. He went from his undergraduate, he had left school, and took his undergraduate, his professor, was practically the top student in this whole school, Southern Baptist. And his professor came to his school and said, "I've never had a student." And then they sent him right to Cambridge. And he passed over masters already. He was good. And, they say that everything in a 10-mile radius of wherever it is he's so meticulous, his mind is so powerful. When he went with Prabhupada to see Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj asked Prabhupada, he was the most intelligent, so the model someone was waiting for him. His brother is also a PhD. And he's exactly the opposite. Very comfortable, like very comfortable. Most of the exceptional abilities. And maybe others do, there are others who do not go to college. But they were fixed, because you can get out there. Reading the different things.
at a certain point, we started seeing Prabhupada relatively. The one experience I have of people doing this in mass was often in Ramaswamy. At a certain point after inheriting the Kirtan of Ramaswamy's temple and congregation, that first they copied the same model as everywhere, anybody in the temple, and they could come after 3 weeks of faith. Then decided to change that. After come for 2 years before you can even talk about that. And you were tested for 9 years of scholarship before you even know what you mean. Pious willingness to work at any job and your willingness to get along. And if you had even a little interest in the Vihasta, you were advised to go up for the job. And now they have a situation where they'll help you find a job. And that's what you just kind of do. But if you need to find some jobs, those who have shown their pedigree, shown their bona fide. So they'll find a job, a marriage counseling committee, go to marriage, they'll find an accommodation, charity, they'll get some trouble, that's quite nice. All the things that we do. It's a little bit easier. That's where I've seen, you know, they tell people, you know, unless you're 100% convinced of Brahmacharya. And of course, the ladies are prepared. But, you know, I have a number of females that. So, through that type of mechanism. It might not be. I mean, it's obviously different. This is a different situation. Slovenia is a different situation. America is another different situation altogether. So, we can take the principle. Maybe we'll find some of these stories.